The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a subject that, let's be honest, many of us probably associate with school days. Geography.
Yeah, you know, memorizing capitals, maybe naming some rivers or mountains.
Exactly, pointing out fjords, that kind of thing. But we're here to tell you that's a really outdated view.
Completely. We're diving into geography, a very short introduction by Johnny Matthews and David T. Herbert. And this little book packs a punch. It's not just describing the world.
No, it's giving you a way to understand how it works, an analytical framework.
Our mission, really, is to show you how modern geography is this incredibly dynamic field.
Yeah.
It pulls together so many threads.
The book's argument is that this geographical perspective, thinking spatially, is actually key to grasping the huge challenges we face. You know, climate change, globalization, how cities grow, inequality.
It all comes down to that core question. Why does location matter? Why is this thing here and not somewhere else?
And when you start asking that about, say, why some communities are more vulnerable to climate impacts or how diseases spread.
You see, it's not just about naming places anymore. It's about understanding the processes that shape our world. It's essential for finding solutions.
Okay, so let's talk about the authors, because their backgrounds really tell the story of modern geography itself.
They do. It's a great pairing. You've got John A. Matthews on the physical geography side.
Right. He's an emeritus professor. Deep expertise in things like glaciers, climate change impacts, the Earth's physical systems. Think rocks, water, ice, atmosphere. He brings that scientific rigor.
And then you have David T. Herbert, also an emeritus professor, but focused on human geography.
So his work is more about us, how we live.
Exactly. Urban studies, social geography, how societies organize themselves in space, even the geography of crime. He brings that crucial human social dimension.
And the key thing is they were colleagues at the same university. So they didn't just write about integrating physical and human geography.
They actually did it. Their collaboration embodies that unified approach. It's not physical versus human. Yeah. It's one field looking at the world holistically.
Which gives the book a really unique strength, I think.
Definitely.
So let's get into the book's main goal. What are Matthews and Herbert trying to achieve here?
Well, fundamentally, they want to overhaul that old school image of geography. Move it away from just being a list of facts and locations.
Towards being seen as a sophisticated, analytical discipline. A science, really.
Yes. The central argument is that geography offers this essential spatial perspective. And crucially, it acts as a bridge.
A bridge between what?
Between the natural sciences, like climate science or geology, and the social sciences, like urban planning, economics, sociology.
Because the real world problems don't fit neatly into those academic boxes, right?
Yeah, precisely. Think about sustainability or resource management. You need both the physical understanding of the environment and the social understanding of human behavior and systems. Geography provides that link.
And they make it clear this isn't just armchair theorizing. They talk about the tools geographers actually use.
Oh yeah, it's quite high tech now in many ways. Geographic information systems, GIS, is huge.
That's the mapping software stuff.
It's much more than mapping. It's about layering different kinds of spatial data, like income levels, flood zones, infrastructure, to analyze relationships and model scenarios. Plus, remote sensing from satellites, statistical modeling.
But also, they emphasize, traditional fieldwork is still vital, getting out there and observing.
Absolutely. And they stress analyzing things across different scales. You might zoom into a single city block, then zoom out to understand global trade patterns. It's that flexibility of scale that's key.
It sounds like they're trying to equip you, the reader, with a whole new way of seeing things.
That's exactly it. To change how you view your own neighborhood and the entire planet.
Okay, let's dig into the core identity then. You mentioned challenging the Capes and Bays stereotype. What's the driving question for modern geography?
It's not just what is where. The real question is, why is it there? And what's the significance of its location?
Ah, so the why and the so what. That shifts it from description to explanation.
Totally. And that leads to some core concepts, like the difference between space and place.
Okay, what's the distinction?
Space is more abstract, the geometric container, you could say, coordinates on a map. Think of it as the stage.
And place.
Place is space that has been given meaning by humans through experience, memory, identity. Your childhood home isn't just a set of coordinates. It's a place imbued with meaning.
So it's the human story layered onto the physical location.
Exactly. It's socially constructed. And this ties into scale too. Geographers are constantly shifting their analytical lens from the very local, like the design of a park, to the global, like patterns of migration. Understanding how these scales connect is crucial.
Now, the book also touches on how the field evolved intellectually. What was a big hurdle geography had to overcome?
A major one was moving past environmental determinism. This was an older, quite problematic idea.
What did it claim?
Basically, that the physical environment, climate, terrain directly determined human culture, intelligence, societal development. You know, simplistic things like people in hot climates are lazy.
Yikes. Yeah, that sounds deterministic and probably used to justify some unpleasant ideologies.
It absolutely was. It was often biased and reductionist. The shift came with possibilism.
Possibilism. What's the core idea there?
It argues the environment doesn't dictate, but rather offers a range of possibilities. Human culture, technology, social organization, these are the factors that choose which possibilities are realized.
So the environment sets constraints and opportunities, but human choices matter immensely.
Precisely. It acknowledges human agency. That was a really important step for geography to mature as a discipline, especially linking into the social sciences.
Okay, let's pivot to the physical dimension. The book really grounds things in understanding the Earth's systems.
Yes. The lithosphere, rocks, hydrosphere, water, atmosphere, air, biosphere, life, they're all interconnected and dynamic.
And understanding these is like the baseline requirement.
Absolutely. You need that baseline to understand human impacts. They talk about geomorphology, how landscapes are formed by things like erosion or tectonic plates. In climatology, understanding atmospheric circulation, climate patterns, and change.
So you need to understand the natural processes before you can analyze how we're affecting them.
Exactly. You can't talk meaningfully about sea level rise if you don't grasp the basics of ice melt and thermal expansion.
Which leads us neatly into the human dimension. How do we organize ourselves spatially?
This is where human geography really comes alive. Think about urban geography, analyzing cities, patterns of settlement, segregation, transportation, planning for sustainable futures.
Which is huge given how urbanized the world is becoming.
Massively important. Then there's economic geography. How are industries and wealth distributed across space? Global supply chains tracing your phone or your food back across the globe.
It helps you see the hidden connections in everyday products.
It does. And don't forget political geography. Borders, territories, conflicts over resources, how power operates spatially. Geopolitics, essentially.
It sounds like these dimensions, physical and human, are constantly interacting. The book must highlight where they collide most dramatically.
Oh, definitely. The critical nexus is human-environment interaction. And they use a powerful, tragic case study, the Aral Sea disaster.
I've heard of that. What's the geographical take on what happened?
It's a stark example of human decisions, driven by politics and economics, overriding environmental reality. During the Soviet era, the rivers feeding the Aral Sea were massively diverted.
For what purpose?
Primarily for irrigating vast cotton fields in a very arid region. It was centrally planned agriculture, but the irrigation systems were incredibly inefficient.
And the consequence was the sea just shrank.
Dramatically. It basically disappeared, leaving behind a toxic desert, devastating local ecosystems and communities. It shows how a natural hazard like drought potential only becomes a disaster because human choices, vulnerability, and poor planning.
That really drives home the concept of the Anthropocene, doesn't it? The idea that humans are now the dominant force shaping the planet's systems.
It's the textbook example. Human systems fundamentally altering a major physical geographical feature.
So how do geographers actually study all this complexity? You mentioned the tools that geographers craft. Let's go back to GIS. How does it help analyze something like the Aral Sea?
Well, imagine layering different digital maps, one showing the original shoreline, another the diverted river courses, another the location of cotton fields, another showing soil salinity data, maybe even health statistics from the affected towns.
Ah, so by stacking these layers, you can visually and statistically analyze the connections, see where the impacts were greatest and why.
Exactly. It reveals spatial correlations that might be hidden otherwise. It's a powerful tool for modeling and understanding these complex interactions.
But it's not just about fancy tech. They also talk critically about the most basic tool, the map itself.
Yes, this is crucial. They argue that maps aren't neutral, objective mirrors of reality. Maps are arguments.
Arguments. How so?
Every map involves choices.
Yeah.
What projection to use, which always distorts something. What scale? What information to include or exclude? Who is making the map and for what purpose? These choices shape the message the map conveys. They reflect power and perspective.
So we need to learn to read maps critically, just like we read text critically. Ask who made it and why.
Absolutely. Always question the map.
Okay, let's pull out some of the big overarching themes from the book. What are the key messages you should take away?
First, definitely geography as a spatial science. Its unique contribution is its focus on analyzing patterns, relationships, and processes across space.
And the everyday connection.
Is realizing that nothing around you is randomly located. Why is your local grocery store there? Why is the park situated where it is? There are underlying economic, social, historical, spatial reasons. You start seeing those forces at play.
Okay, theme two.
The integration of physical and human systems. Geography's real power lies in its ability to bridge disciplines, to tackle complex, real-world problems.
So, like, the example of local flooding.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
You can't understand why your street floods just by looking at rainfall data. Physical. You also need to understand zoning laws, how much impermeable surface there is from development, the capacity of storm drains. It requires both lenses.
Got it. What's next?
Scale and connectivity. The idea that the local and the global are intrinsically linked. You can't really separate them.
How does that play out day to day?
Think about something simple, like your morning coffee. Where do the beans come from? How does the price you pay connect to the livelihood of farmers maybe thousands of miles away? What are the environmental impacts of that specific coffee production? Geography helps trace those connections.
It makes the global feel much more immediate. And the last key theme.
Critical and social geography. Moving beyond just describing what is where to asking why things are distributed unevenly. Engaging with issues of power, social justice, and inequality.
And the everyday reflection there.
It's about looking critically at your own community. How is access to things like good schools, public transport, or even clean air distributed? Are there patterns? Who benefits and who doesn't? Geography gives you the tools to see and analyze spatial inequality.
The book seems packed with concise ideas that really reframe the discipline. Any standout quotes or core statements?
Oh, definitely. Here's one that captures the shift we've been talking about. Geography is not about knowing where places are, but about understanding why they are where they are and how they came to be that way.
That nails it. Analysis over memorization. Process over just location.
Exactly. And this one highlights the unique perspective. The geographical imagination enables us to see connections and patterns that might otherwise remain invisible.
So it's a way of thinking that reveals hidden structures, like seeing the connections between seemingly unrelated things because of their spatial relationships.
Yes. And related to the bridge idea, geography bridges the divide between natural and social sciences precisely because the world itself does not recognize these artificial boundaries.
That's elegantly put. The problems are integrated, so our thinking needs to be too, especially for things like climate action or sustainability.
For sure. And one more. Spatial analysis is not just a tool, but a way of thinking that reveals the hidden structures of social and environmental life.
It really emphasizes that this isn't just for specialists. This spatial way of thinking is fundamental. It's a lens anyone can use.
That's the core message, I think.
Okay, so let's make this really practical. How can you, listening right now, start applying this geographical way of thinking?
Well, start locally. Practice informed urban living. Next time there's a debate about a new development, a park closure, or a change in bus routes in your town, put on your geography hat.
Ask why it's being proposed there. Who benefits spatially? Are there potential negative impacts on certain neighborhoods?
Exactly. Understand the spatial implications. Another way is through environmental consumerism. Think about those supply chains.
So, understanding that buying local might reduce transport emissions, or that choosing certain products might be linked to deforestation elsewhere.
Yes, making those connections between your consumption and its global spatial footprint. Also, think about policy analysis and civic engagement.
That's so.
Remember that national or state-level policies don't land uniformly. A policy will have very different effects in a dense city versus a rural area, or in a mountainous region versus a coastal plain, because the geographical context varies. Understand that scale matters in policy impact.
And finally, that point about maps.
Yes. Practice critical map reading. Whenever you see a map in the news, in a report, SABS, don't just accept it. Ask, what story is this map trying to tell? What choices did the maker make? What might be left out? Treat maps as arguments to be analyzed.
It seems like developing this geographical imagination is really a skill for life. What surprised you most revisiting this?
For me, it's always the power of the human geography side to illuminate social issues. how concepts like place and spatial analysis can reveal deep structures of inequality and power that you might otherwise miss. It's far more profound than the old school image.
Yeah, I agree. My big takeaway is that sense of empowerment. It's not about knowing endless facts. It's about having this spatial toolkit for thinking critically about the world. It makes you a more informed citizen, definitely.
It really does give you a new lens.
So we want to leave you with a final thought, something to mull over. Using this lens, consider your own sense of place. How is your personal identity, your feeling of belonging, shaped not just by people and history, but by the actual physical geography, the landscape, the climate, the resources of where you live? How have those physical features influenced the human story of your area?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.